Hello and welcome to Expert Talk. I'm your host, John Parker. And today on this episode, we're going to be looking at our textile moths. And to talk us or help navigate us through this episode, we're going to be joined by our advanced technical field consultant, Richard Faulkner. Hi, Richard.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm grand. Thank you very much. So we're going to talk about textile moths today, and hopefully you can navigate us through this a bit better. So when we're looking at textile moths in Ireland, we have two for definite textile moths, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We have the common close moth and we have the case-bearing close moth. They are our two predominant textile pest moths that do damage to our sort of domestic and industrial fabrics.
And then we also have two other ones that kind of masquerade every now and again as textile moths, don't we?
Yeah, we've got the brown house moth and we've got the white shouldered house moth. They can do damage to sort of felt and cork and stuff like that in our building structures.
But usually when we're talking out, when we're going out as pest controllers and we're dealing with textile moths, it's usually the case-bearing close moth or the common close moth, yeah?
Yeah. Yes, it is. It's those two species.
So we are generally advising people to get their spring cleaning done early, make sure that things are aired out, cleaned, hoovered, and things like that. How can these moths come into our homes?
So again, the main thing with these moths is that we look at the life cycle. So we've got a complete metamorphosis. We've got egg, larvae, pupae, adult. The larvae is the part of the life cycle that does the damage because it's the feeding and the growth stage. So they feed on a protein called keratin. And keratin is a natural fiber protein found in fibers of sort of animal product usually, and plant product too. So it's in things like toenails and fingernails. It's in fur, feathers, wool, hooves, horns, but not antlers, strangely. So it's this keratin and having things that are keratin based that is the attractant for them. So if you've got a lovely natural fiber, high sort of woolen carpet, that's like Christmas to them. It's a great breeding source, same as having like Angora sweaters and things like that in the home. These are all real attractants. So a lot of the time, again, banging on to my usual topic of birds nesting in and around buildings, birds nest being the root of all evil, birds line their nests with their feathers. Their feathers contain keratin, which is an attractant and a food source to them.
Okay, so it could be a combination of things. They could literally fly in from the outside,
yeah,
and come in that way, or they could be brought in via the root of all evil, if you'd like to say, the bird's, yeah, nest materials and things like that. So we've got multiple ways that they could come in. Yeah. And I suppose one thing that we're not kind of touching on here is how they come in is, again, we've mentioned it in previous episodes, is secondhand furniture, secondhand items of fabrics.
Yeah, they can do. And sometimes it could even be brand new stuff. If that stuff's so high in keratin, it could be affected in storage in warehouses and stuff like that. And you could be bringing it in your new products. It's very, very possible. So it is looking at stuff before we bring it in, looking at our building structures, making sure that bird nesting or bird nests are removed when they can be removed and that we seal the areas so birds can't re-enter and nest. And as you said, they're out in the natural environment because birds nest out in our foliage, they nest in our trees and in our hedgerows and stuff like that. So it's just to be aware of those.
We can't just kind of pinpoint domestic properties either, because going back to my technician days, you know, I've had loads of breakouts in commercial properties that have fabrics that, yeah, suffered the same issues.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not just domestic at all. It's basically any building where you've got natural fibers, and that's the majority of buildings. And that's the thing, like traditionally you're associating with, like we've talked about bird's nest, you could have animal dens as well because they've got fur and stuff down. So they're used to sort of exploiting animal and bird dens, and we're no different. We're a big animal with a very large den from that point of view.
So, like, I was glad that you mentioned that, that there's new... So it's not just second-hand furniture, it's new stuff as well. So we've just got to be careful of, you know, maybe doing a bit of an inspection of the stuff before we kind of bring it in. But when they're in our properties, even our domestic... You mentioned the carpet there earlier on. What kind of signs of activity would you be, like, looking for in terms of saying, I have a textile problem?
So you're going to get patches of damage. You're going to see the larvae. So in the case bearing kind, they actually make a little case that they live in and they move along in, which they mix up with the natural sort of silk thread that they make with the carpet fibers on it to camouflage them. With the common clothes moth, you'll actually see the little naked larvae moving about. They do make a little silk tube that they sleep in, but they come out of it during the day to feed. A lot of the time, as you said earlier about the spring cleaning, so you're not generally going to see them in open areas. It's going to be the areas of sort of carpet that are under your sofas, under cabinets, under your TV cabinet, those sort of darker areas out of the way. The adults, which are reasonably small, they're anything from about 6 to maybe 10 mils. With the common clothes moth, they're quite a pretty little golden moth. But they spend most of their time running about. They fly very, very rarely, because they're quite happy in under things, just finding other adult moths to mate with, lay eggs and keep the life cycle going.
So when we're talking about spring cleaning, it's not just your normal cleaning, but maybe a little bit more. It's actually physically moving the larger items and cleaning them behind them, moving it. And then once they've kind of established themselves under the large items of furniture, they tend to kind of start working their way out, don't they? So I remember seeing that they generally start the damage around the four junctions, don't they? Work their way back in towards the middle.
Yeah, again, it's where there's more cover, less foot traffic as well, because the more undisturbed the area, which especially under these places, as we've just mentioned, is going to be undisturbed. So it is a case of moving your big items, thoroughly cleaning, hoovering regularly. If you hoover a couple of times a week, it's more of a disturbed environment. You're going to get rid of lint and stuff like that. And there's going to be a lot less of a build-up from that point of view. So that's really, really important, really, really key. Also, again, we've talked about it before with other sort of insect pests, but humidity as well. When you've got a lot of sort of keratin stuff, a lot of nice high keratin content carpets and stuff like that, and you've got humidity, it all actually sort of, when it increases their sort of breeding potential, the turnover from egg to adult, but it will increase and make the environment better for their feeding.
And now, you know, we've talked about this kind of stuff, that the damaged carpets, you know, expensive items of clothing, because generally some of the most beautiful items of clothing contains natural occurring keratin within them. And so they can do some significant amount of damage, which is ultimately quite costly, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. There can be a lot of things with that. Also, they'll look at, especially when you've got we've done stately homes and stuff where they've got into like historically valuable rugs and stuff like that, because of the high keratin content, and they just do untold amounts of damage. So it's looking firstly, as we've said, about the housekeeping, then at sort of treatment and what we can do. So we can do chemical treatment, we can do heat treatment as well. Heat treatment's really good, because it will kill all life stages of the life cycle. So from that point of view, it's quite important to have an integrated plan. So you're doing the housekeeping to a very high standard, you're cleaning regularly, you're disturbing the environment, then we're also using chemical and some sort of heat measures to then help control them.
And there's, like, you know, you mentioned the stately homes, and we've also got the likes of our commercial properties with a lot of textile. But how we've talked about how we can deal with it, but Israel, can we monitor for these? Can we detect them early?
Yeah, we can. So, well, the common clothes moth, we can. There's specific monitors, pheromone monitors, that we can put down, that we can use as an indicator to then see if we've got the presence of the common clothes moth on site. And they're really, really good from that point of view. Insect light traps as well will work to a point. You'll get place moths of both species onto those. So there is stuff like that we can do. But a lot of it is just visual. It's inspecting those areas. It's pulling those things out when you clean. And the more you clean and pull out, the better inspection you're going to do, and you're going to be able to look for those things.
Okay, which I think we've kind of covered everything that we need to cover here. So thank you very much, as always.
My pleasure.
And thank you for listening to another episode of Expert Talks.